Last Wednesday evening, we looked together at the topic of temptation. We took the time to study from Luke's gospel account the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and from that we were able to learn the nature of temptation. We know that there is an enemy, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And as he seeks to bring about our destruction, he does so really through three main avenues of temptation. We know them as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And all of us have to face those areas of temptation within our own lives. We have to deal with our flesh. We have to do with that which appeals to the eyes and seeks to draw us away. We all have to face, and it's not just men, by the way, that have to deal with issues such as the pride of life. We all have that within our own heart that we have to fight against, and we have to be alert to those attacks. And we mentioned last week as well that there are three times specifically that we can kind of point to, at least from our study last week, which help us to understand when the devil might be more likely to attack. Through the story of the Lord Jesus there, we learn that there are times of solitude in which there will be temptation brought upon us. At times of stress, it's easy for us to fall prey to the temptation that the devil will bring. And there are times that we call susceptibility, times of physical weakness, times when we are tired and sick and the problems of life seem to surround us and we become very susceptible to the temptations all around us. Therefore, I think it's important that all of us would heed the admonition that the Lord would give to his disciples the night before he was crucified there in the garden, where he said, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." All of us know the reality is that spiritually we're willing to live for God, but our flesh is very weak. And it's easy for us to stumble and to fall. Tonight I want to look at God's Word and see how we can understand the temptation that we face. And I trust tonight God will help us to understand temptation and the tests that come our way. Before we look at that though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our time tonight to be able to come and study together these truths concerning the temptations of life. And Lord, that we be wise, that we would be watchful, that we be prayerful, that we not enter into temptation and fall in sin, but Father, instead, that we would walk in holiness of life, in purity, in mind, and spirit, that we would be a people to the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we seek to bring all honor, glory, and praise to. We ask and pray your blessing now upon this study. In Jesus' name, amen. If you and I don't take the time to understand temptation as they are brought to us, if you and I don't take the time to see from a biblical standpoint what takes place and what is going on within our lives at these times of difficulty, these times of stress, then the reality is you and I run the danger of developing bitterness, which will rob us of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So tonight I want to take the time to seek and try to understand temptation as we find it taught to us in the Word of God. And as we begin tonight, I want to help us by understanding the difference. There are two basic terms in Scripture that are used and sometimes seem to be used interchangeably, and those are the terms of tempt and test. And sometimes it looks as if God Himself is one that would tempt us with certain things, and the reality is we need to know the difference between a temptation and a test. The Bible does teach us that there are tests of the Lord, that there are those things that God will bring into our lives, trials and heartaches, that will be brought into the lives of his children in order to test them and to develop within them the godly character that he so desires to bring about into their lives. You and I are very familiar with Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're very familiar with that text. We go to it often. We share it often to those that are going through times of difficulty, times of trial, times of hardship. The Bible does teach us that God will bring into our lives times of testing, times of trial, times of hardship, and God does promise to work that for our good. Verse 29 reminds us of what that good is. In Romans 8, 29, we're told that God is working all things together for good, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. It's that for which we have been predestinated, that we would be made into the image of his Son. God is working everything in your life and in my life together for the purpose that our character be developed. God desires godly character in the lives of his children more than he is concerned for our comforts. He desires the good for you and I, that we be conformed to the image of Christ. Again, I'll say it again to you, God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. And sometimes we struggle with that concept. We think that blessing of God means that everything goes well for me. I don't have hardship, I don't have trial, I don't have problems. And when they come, somehow God has stopped blessing my life, or God is no longer happy or pleased with me. But the reality is, God does bring hardships, and God does bring times of testing. By the way, one of the greatest examples of that reality would be men such as Job and Joseph and Daniel. God will bring times of testing into the lives of his people. Consider Job for a moment. God said that Job was an upright man. He was one who feared the Lord and eschewed evil. Matter of fact, there was none quite like Job in his day. Yet God brought hardship. God brought great trial and heartache into his life. Think about it for a moment. Why? Why would God bring hardship into the life of one that he said is upright? There is none like my servant Job. Why did God bring hardship into his life? So what?
To show Job his own self-righteousness,
which means that Job had what? Pride and problems. There was still something left in Job's life that God wanted to continually conform him to. There was improvements that still had to be made. Think about Joseph for a minute. Think about Daniel. Know what's interesting of those two characters? There is no sin recorded in their lives for us in the Scripture. So why would God bring the trials and the testing that he brought upon them? Think of Joseph. Sold into slavery, forgotten, accused, thrown into prison. And this is one that the Bible doesn't record a single sin in his life. That doesn't mean he didn't sin. Why would God then bring those trials and tests in his life? Joseph understand it. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. There were things in his life that had to be changed, and there was good to come into the lives of others. Folks, we have to get out of our minds that God is concerned with our comfort
and understand He's concerned with our character. And there are times within our lives that He will bring testing. But we also need to understand there's another area that faces us, and that are the temptations of the devil. God seeks to bring testing, which is there to conform us to the image of His Son, while Satan brings the temptation designed to lure us to sin, designed that he might sift us as wheat and devour us and destroy us. He wants to bring ruin into the life of God's people. He wants to pounce upon us as prey. The challenge for us as believers is to know the difference between the two. I want you to look with me at James chapter 1, if you would. And I want to begin at verse 13. James writes and says, "Let no man say, when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Understand what James is saying. You're going through trials. That's the first part, verses 1 through 12. "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations," or trials and testing. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, one in nothing. We are challenged not to be a double-minded man who is unstable in all of his ways." In light of that context, he now comes and says, "Don't err, my brethren. God doesn't tempt us to evil." Now look at verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Folks, James makes it very clear that there is a distinction. God is bringing the times of trial and testing in the life that he might have patience, do its work, that you would be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He wants to develop our character. And by the way, it doesn't matter what stage of your life in, God is still trying to conform you to the image of Christ. You are not like him yet. You're on the road to being like him. And one day we will be like him when we see him as he is. God's not done with any one of you here or me tonight. He is bringing that into our lives for our good, that we be like Christ. But understand the distinction. In the time that God is seeking to do that which is good, there is an enemy who is seeking to devour. And the temptations are being laid before us with the lust of our flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that we would be drawn away from the Lord, that we would instead sin and turn from our God. You and I need to be careful not to bring accusation against our God for that which is evil. We need to understand what God is doing. And we need to understand that we have an enemy at work. No wonder why Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 6, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Folks, you and I need to be understanding. And as you and I are facing these times within our lives, and there are these temptations before us, Satan wants to devour. Understand that. See it for what it is. That God is seeking to work all of these things for good, and He is testing us, even in those times, that we would be made more and more like Christ. I want you to understand with me the purpose now for such times. Why does God bring these tests into our lives? Why does He allow us to face temptations? God's all powerful. Why doesn't He just remove it altogether? Why do we have to deal with these things now? I want to give you three reasons why I think God allows these tests and temptations in our lives. Number one, I believe that God allows the tests and temptations of life to determine our loyalties. I think God allows the tests and trials and the troubles and the temptations of life to determine our loyalties. Erwin Lutzer made this comment in a book entitled Getting to Know. He said, "With all of its frightful possibilities of failures, speaking of temptations, it is God's way of testing our loyalties." I think that's an interesting statement. With each test, God seeks to develop our passion for Him. He desires that we love Him more than anyone and anything else. He wants you and I to choose Him as Lord. And I think the greatest example of that, and we won't actually turn there tonight because we're familiar with it, is in the life of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says that the Lord came unto Abraham and did test him. You remember the test well. "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him upon an altar, upon a mountain that I will show you. Abraham, offer me Isaac." It was a test. It was a test to see Abraham's loyalty. "Take your son and offer him to me." Why put him through such a test? Abraham's the father of the faithful. He was one who put his faith and trust in Almighty God. But folks, when you come to Genesis 22, we are really coming to the very climax of Abraham's life. And if you look down at verse 12, if you are in Genesis 22, you find these very interesting words. God calls out from heaven and says, "Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do anything unto him." Why? "For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, for me." God tested Abraham, and Abraham proved his loyalty. He loved God more than anyone else. I want you to take that thought for a moment. I want you to think through your life and my life together. When you face temptation and test, who do you choose, or what do you choose? When the trial comes, when the hardship arises, where do your loyalties lie? Because the choice that you make in those times proves your loyalty. Are you choosing God or something else? Does God mean everything to you and me, or does someone else mean more? Where do our loyalties lie? I asked the question even Sunday night. If you had the choice between serving God or doing something that you rarely get to do, which would you choose? "Well, I can serve God anytime, but I rarely get to do this. I'll be
be honest, that's where many people live today. Our loyalties are to someone else. Our loyalties are to something else. Where are our loyalties? What do we choose? And I don't think it matters if it's a big thing or a little thing. Just think about it on a day-to-day basis. What do you choose? To honor God or to please self? I remember being on my senior trip in high school. And I remember hearing a message preached, and the preacher made this statement. There are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And the question was, which will you choose? You or him? In the midst of every trial, in the midst of every test, you have a choice. God or me? His work developing my character, my comforts. Which will you choose? And folks, that determines our loyalties. Let me ask, or just make some statements to you. When we choose to hold on to bitterness and anger and wrath and malice, instead of putting them all away and being kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, you're choosing self over God. When we choose to lie or stretch the truth in order to embellish the story or to spin something so that we are seen in a favorable light, we are choosing self over God and His ways of righteousness. Folks, God hates lies. It is to be about Him and Him alone. The same could be put to the test with any of our lusts or issues of morality. The reality is, in the midst when those temptations come, what will we choose? Our choices determine our loyalties. And folks, sometimes God will put a test before us that we would see clearly where our loyalties lie. And sometimes if we would take a fair and honest evaluation, I think we would be appalled sometimes as to where our loyalties lie. The second thing we've mentioned already, let me just go into a little more detail, but it does, the times of tests develop our character. God brings these times into our lives that we would be conformed in our character. A poet well said, talent is formed in solitude, but character in the storms of life. God seeks to develop your character and my character. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University, a well-known evangelist of a previous generation, said it this way: a test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. Let me ask you, what kind of temptation has to come your way before you stop living for God? A wrong word by someone else, does that immediately bring you to anger and wrath and malice and bitterness? What does it take to stop us from living for God? How quickly do we turn from the Lord? How much does it take to cause us to sin? How easily are we enticed? Folks, Paul would say it this way, that the things that he wished he wouldn't do, he ended up doing. And the things that he really wanted to do, sometimes he never did. What he was saying is simply this: I struggle just like you. But Paul would be able to say, I am striving for that perfection. I am striving that I would grow. I am striving that I would be more like Christ. God wants to use everything that comes our way to mold us to Christ's image. Again, Romans 8:29, that we be conformed to the image of Christ. Job understood that. Job would say it this way in Job 23:10, that when he is tried in the furnace of God, he would come forth as purer gold. Peter reminds us in his epistle, his first epistle in chapter 1, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Folks, God wants through every time of testing and trial to draw us closer and make us more like Jesus Christ. He wants to strengthen our character. There's a third reason, though. I'll have you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. These verses are precious to many of us. I think it's always good to see them again. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 would talk about the temptations and trial of his life. And he understood that each one was an opportunity for God to display his grace. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, please, and let's begin in verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul understood that the trials and the tests of life are opportunities for God to display his grace. Through every test, through every trial, through every victory, we can see the grace of our God. Folks, when you talk about a servant of the Lord, one of the first names that comes to our mind is Paul. How many others do we know of that have suffered quite like Paul? He gave a list at one point of his shipwrecks and his beatings, his imprisonments, his stonings, and being left for dead. And yet in it all, he got up and he served the Lord. And he kept going forward. By the way, anybody know how Paul died? And I don't mean the means of with the death, I mean the means of his life when he died. Rich or poor? He was an absolute pauper. Bring my cloak and the parchments. That's what he had to his name. Not a house, not a lot of things. But he was able to say, Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Folks, when I listen to that statement and I read that statement, I study that statement, you know what I hear? Joy. Not comfort. I hear character. And through it all, God showed him his grace. And Paul said, I will gladly suffer for Christ. I will glory in mine infirmities, because in my weakness I am made strong. I have learned that his grace is all I need. Folks, the problem is we go through tests and temptation. And it seems to me more and more that as I talk with folks as they're going through that, what I hear, the first question out of most people's mouths is this: why would God do this to me? And I think, wrong perspective. Folks, you can attribute the bad to an enemy who wants to destroy you. But in that hard time, understand, God is working it for your good. And the good, be careful about our terms here. We can't associate good with ease, or good with comfort, or good with possessions. The good is the work of God, the development of our character, the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, the grace which is sufficient in the midst of my every need. There is nothing wrong with living a life that basically finds our supply from God day by day, where we, like Israel, would walk and God would give us the manna for the day. Somehow we have equated things differently, that God is only good when I have much, when I have ease, when I have comfort. Folks, in the times of test, in the times of temptation, where things don't look all that good, they are, because God is working in you. Philippians 1 and verse 6 is a beautiful passage. For he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't see God at work. By faith, believe that he is, because he is. He has promised to be at work. Let's be careful not to falsely accuse God in the times of hardship. And that's one of the things I hear often. There are tests, and God wants to bring them for good. There are temptations designed to destroy. And when you make comments such as, why would God do that to me? All you're doing is giving place to the devil. You're falling right into his line of lies, just like Eve did in the garden. And you open up an opportunity for him now to come in and tempt you in the lust of the flesh, in the lust of the eyes, in the pride of life, that you be destroyed. That's what he wants. Understand the nature of temptation. And understand temptation itself and the differences that exist. There are tests of the Lord and temptations of the devil. God wants to bring about your character and develop you and make you more like his son. That's his purpose for your life and mine. And the devil wants to devour. Now, in the midst of that, understanding both sides, I want to ask you, which will you choose? To give place to the devil, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, or submitting to the gracious hand of Almighty God, who will work all things for good. We need to understand the temptations of life, that we not be so easily pulled in to temptation. That's why we're told again by the Lord, and we're going to look at this in weeks to come, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Let's pray together as we close.